the session. It's Wednesday. Wednesday. And on, everybody's in uniform. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Convening roll call for the 30th day, Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017. Allen. Baker. Barlow. Biteman. Blackburn. Blake. Bovey. Brown. Burkhart. Bird. Clausen. Clem. Connolly. Court. Crank. Dayton. Edwards. Eklund. Air. Air. Flitner. Freeman. Furphy. Grew. Gray. Greer. Haley. Hallinan. Halverson. Henderson. Hunt. Jennings. Kinner. Kirkbride. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lone. Laux. McGuire. Madden. McKim. Miller. Nicholas. Northrup. Obermuller. Olson. Paxton. Pelkey. Pieperinen. Ponell. Salazar. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Sweeney. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Zawanitzer. Mr. Speaker. Air. We have 60 present.
Thank you. We are joined by Reverend Rick Veit, St. Mark's Episcopal Church.
Today I'd like to offer you a collect for guidance. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight. Through your one and holy name, amen.
House will come to order. Members, fellow representatives, we are honored that Adjutant General Major Luke Reiner is here this morning. And we have several members of the military that are sitting in the chamber. And each year, General Reiner joins us and introduces us to brave men and women who, of course, represent our great state and country. So I'd ask the General to take a few minutes and we'd introduce us to these folks and so we can properly thank them for their service. So General Reiner, welcome to the House of Representatives.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. You know, esteemed representatives and staff, it is a true pleasure for us to be here and to take a few minutes of your time. First, let me say that on behalf of the 3,000 men and women of the Wyoming Military Department, we thank you for your solid and for your consistent and continuing support. What I would report to you this morning is that the state of your Wyoming Guard is strong, and that we have been active in both our state and in our federal missions. On the state side, last summer, 84 guardsmen from your Wyoming Guard deployed on flood support missions to Fremont and Carbon County, where they filled lots and lots of sandbags. A smaller number of men and women deployed in record time to Pine Bluffs after a devastating hailstorm hit that community, and recently, actually, last week, to be exact, over 100 guardsmen deployed to Washakie and Bighorn counties in support of floods and ice jams in that area. This hard work from your guard has helped the state agencies involved provide assistance to the residents of those areas, and it's all made possible by the dedicated service of the guardsmen who live in your communities and are your constituents. In our federal role as the combat reserve of the United States Army and as the United States Air Force, I would share with you that in a world of increasing turbulence, that your men and women are representing Wyoming incredibly well. Over the year, we sent multiple units out the door from both our Air and Army Guard. We're happy to report that just recently 30 soldiers from our Army National Guard returned home from Afghanistan back into Lander, and a similar number of Air National Guard airmen have returned from various locations overseas. They're now at home with their loved ones after long deployments, and it's always so good to get them back. Sadly, that service to our country is not without a price. And our state has not been immune. And the people that I'd like to introduce you to today, Mr. Speaker, is members of Wyoming's Gold Star families. And each one of them has lost a member during our nation's fight on the global war of terror. So let me just pause, and with your permission, Speaker, I'd like to invite them up. Okay, so come on forward. I'd like to introduce them to you correctly. Yeah, you can get that. So first, let me introduce to you those here today for Sergeant First Class Michael Parrott, who was killed in Iraq in November the 10th in 2005. But here today for him is his widow Meg, his stepson Jason, and his cousin Kate. And let me also then introduce to you Miss Terry Hayes and her daughter Eleanor, who lost their husband and father, Captain Bruce Hayes, in Afghanistan in September 17, 2008. And here today to honor Chief Warrant Officer 3, Andrew McAdams, who died in Afghanistan on the 10th of January in 2014, is his widow Carol, his daughter Madison, and parents Brian and Kay. Unable to join us today are the family members of Captain Robert Lucero, who was killed in Iraq on the 25th of September. On the 25th of September, 2003. So, thank you. Okay, thank you. Go ahead. Yeah. All of these soldiers did take an oath to serve this great state and our nation, and each one has obviously paid the ultimate sacrifice. The pain is felt forever by their families. The Wyoming Military Department is part of that family, and while we hope to never, ever, ever lose one of our members when it does happen, we are committed to taking care of our Gold Star families and to remember their loved ones. To that end, later today, this afternoon at 4:30 at our Joint Force Headquarters Center, we will dedicate a memorial to honor these men that the Wyoming Guard has lost. And we've been at war for 16 years, and we thought it was time that we get a memorial up on the wall. That memorial will remind us forever that Wyoming was and is actively engaged in our nation's defense during this global war on terror, and that our state lost citizen soldiers in the pursuit of freedom for this world, and I hope that you can join us. I do thank you for your time here today to recognize the deeds of your men and women who serve in the Wyoming Military Department and to recognize some of those who continue to carry the burden. So, Mr. Speaker, members of the House, thank you very much.
Major General Reiner, we appreciate you being here today and your staff and your service to our state and our nation and to the families. Really, there's no words, so we just really thank you for your service and for your sacrifice to our state and our great nation. So thank you for joining us here today in the Wyoming House of Representatives. So thank you so much. We're at that, yeah, let's, thank you. Okay, members, thank you. It's kind of hard to go to the next order of business after that. And we all, I think, members, we're all well aware that this experiment in democracy is certainly not free. So we thank certainly those folks, and we have several veterans here, too, as well, and we thank our vets who are members of this body. Okay, members, Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 21st, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Giroux and Representative Gray.
Messages from the Senate.
Messages from the Wyoming Senate, February 21st, 2017. Message number 314. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 23, Secretary of State's Office Amendments, ayes 28, excused 2. Message number 315. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 44, Board of Professional Engineers and Land Surveyors, ayes 28, excused 2. Message number 316. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 74, Agent Orange Health Awareness Month, ayes 28, excused 2. Message number 317. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 86, Omnibus Water Bill Construction. Ayes 27, noes 1, excused 2. Message number 318, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 90, Concealed Weapons, Military Family, Applicants. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form, followed by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, excused 2. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 319. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 128, Tribal License Plates, ayes 27, noes 1, excused 2. Message number 320. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 163, Elections Recount Deposits. Ayes 26, noes 2, excused 2. Message number 321. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 183, Security for On-Deposit Public Funds. Ayes 28, excused 2. Message number 322. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 221, Non-Resident Employer Bonding Requirements. Ayes 27, noes 1, excused 2. Message number 323. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 254, Public Purpose Investments. Ayes 26, noes 1, excused 2. Message number 324, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 139, School Finance Court-Ordered Placement. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as followed by the vote indicated. Ayes 30. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 325, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 32, Ski Safety Act. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as followed by the vote indicated. Ayes 22, noes 8. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 326. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file number 36. Education, Leader Evaluation, and Support. Ayes 26, noes 3, excused 1. Signed, Alan Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Chairman McKim and Representative Halverson, I think, privilege of the floor, please. You have some special guests.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, we do. All the way over from the right side of the divide, we have the students of the Star Valley Middle School. They are the student council, and they are led by Scott Milne and Joe Hale and the best bus driver in Wyoming, Blair Hillstead. So please welcome the Star Valley Middle School Student Council.
Well, it's always nice when we have elected officials join us. And my question for it's a pretty tough title now, the best bus driver in Wyoming. Mr. Hillstead, is that, did you start this morning? You can just give me the nod, yes or no. Started early this morning. All right. Make sure you don't go over your hours, your DOT hours. And I believe, members who are interested in transportation funding, this is a reimbursable trip. I believe, yes. Yes, it is. Well, again, we're delighted. And I tell you, kids, when we had the Gold Star families leave and how you all stood and showed your respect, it didn't go unnoticed. So we really appreciate it. Appreciate you being here as well today. So have a great day here at the Capitol, or the temporary Capitol, and hope you'll enjoy all of it today and not get too bored. So welcome to the Wyoming House. Thank you. Our doctor of the day is Dr. Michael McGlew, and our nurse of the day is Aaron Rumsey from Ivinson Memorial. Yeah. Thank you for being here today, Doctor, and hopefully we won't need your services. We're at that order of business of reading and signing of enrolled acts. The first act for our consideration is Enrolled Act 38, original House Bill 291. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act number 38, House of Representatives, being original House Bill 291, an act relating to Department of Health facilities providing authorization for construction and renovation at the Wyoming State Hospital and Wyoming Life Resource Center, providing an appropriation for the construction and renovation at the Wyoming State Hospital and Wyoming Life Resource Center, providing a contingent appropriation with authority for an interfund loan for the construction and renovation at the Wyoming State Hospital and Wyoming Life Resource Center, reappropriating funds related to the Level 3 design study for the Wyoming State Hospital and Wyoming Life Resource Center, continuing the Task Force on Department of Health Facilities, specifying duties of the Task Force, repealing prior law related to the Task Force, providing an appropriation for the task force, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 38, original House Bill 291. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act is number 39, original House Bill 82. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act number 39, House of Representatives. Being original House Bill 82, an act relating to sales and use tax, providing that the local option taxes may be imposed through separate propositions up to the specified limitations and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 39, original House Bill 82. I'm so signed. The next enrolled act is number 40, original House Bill 38. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act number 40, House of Representatives, being original House Bill 38, an act relating to school finance, eliminating the interest charged for funds borrowed from the common school account within the permanent land fund to cash flow the school foundation program account, amending the date for the repayment of borrowed funds, conforming account names, making conforming amendments, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number 40, original House Bill 38. I have so signed. The next enrolled act is number 41, original House Bill 19. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act number 41, House of Representatives, being original House Bill 19, an act relating to sales tax, providing for collection of sales tax from remote sellers as specified, providing for a declaratory judgment action, providing an injunction during the pendency of the action, limiting liability for payment of the sales tax, implementing related provisions specifying applicability, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 41, original House Bill 19. I'm so signed. The next enrolled act is number 42, original House Bill 86. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act number 42, House of Representatives, being original House Bill 86, an act relating to water development projects, authorizing construction of designed water projects, describing projects, specifying terms and conditions of funding for projects, providing appropriations, extending the sunset dates for sponsors' contingency funds, modifying project descriptions, amounts, and terms of appropriations for specified prior projects, and providing for the effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 42, original House Bill 86. I'm so signed. The next enrolled act is number 43, original House Bill 128. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act number 43, House of Representatives, being original House Bill 128, an act relating to motor vehicle registration, authorizing special Eastern Shoshone Indian Tribe license plates and Northrop Grumman Indian Tribe license plates, establishing a fee, eliminating production of the plates as specified, requiring a report on cessation of production, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 43, original House Bill 128. Congratulations, Representative Allen. I'm so signed. The next enrolled act is Enrolled Act 44, original House Bill 163.
Enrolled Act number 44, House of Representatives, being original House Bill 163, an act relating to elections, modifying deposit fees and liability for costs related to candidate initiated recounts, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 44, original House Bill 163. I have so signed. Congratulations, Representative Northrop. The next enrolled act is Enrolled Act 45, original House Bill 74. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act number 45, House of Representatives, being original House Bill 74, an act relating to state-recognized commemorative days, designating Agent Orange Health Awareness Month, providing recommendations for observation of the month, imposing duties on the Wyoming Veterans Commission, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act 45, original House Bill 74. Congratulations, Representative Lindholm. So signed. The next enrolled act is number 46, original House Bill 183. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act number 46, House of Representatives, being original House Bill 183, an act relating to public funds amending the securities that banks, or savings and loan associations may pledge for on deposit public funds and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 46, Original House Bill 183. Congratulations, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm so signed. Perhaps I can get you four to run my bills in the future. The next Enrolled Act is number 47, Original House Bill 44. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act number 47, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 44, an act relating to professional engineers and land surveyors, providing the number of board members required for a quorum, revising licensure requirements, specifying evidence that can be required by the board, specifying applicability, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 47, Original House Bill 44. I'm so signed. The next Enrolled Act is number 48, Original House Bill 23. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act number 48, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 23, an act relating to the Secretary of State, modifying time period publication and notice requirements relating to business entities, amending requirements for the Secretary of State to publish certain documents, removing requirement for the Secretary of State to distribute copies of the election code to county clerks, accordingly repealing the requirement that county clerks distribute copies of the election code to election judges, providing an appropriation and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 48, Original House Bill 23. I'm so signed. The next Enrolled Act is Enrolled Act number 49, Original House Bill 221.
Enrolled Act number 49, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 221, an act relating to labor and employment, increasing bond or other security required for non-resident employers, expanding application of bond or security funds, increasing the penalty for violations and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 49, Original House Bill 221. Congratulations, Representative Burkhart. I'm so signed. The next Enrolled Act is number 50, Original House Bill 254.
Enrolled Act number 50, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 254, an act relating to state investments, increasing total amounts authorized to be invested for specific public purposes and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 50, Original House Bill 254. I'm so signed. The next Enrolled Act is Senate Enrolled Act number 19, Original Senate File 43. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act number 19, Senate, being Original Senate File 43, an act relating to alcoholic beverages, repealing requirement licenses and permit fees be paid in cash or by certified check, repealing restrictions on license and permit holding by a mayor, city or town council member, county commissioner, and law enforcement officer, modifying requirements for special malt beverage permits for public auditoriums, civic centers, or event centers, modifying provisions related to hours of operations, modifying minimum purchase requirements for the permit and license holders, modifying and clarifying application of population formula for licenses, repealing certain preference right, repealing limitation on issuance of restaurant licenses, repealing provisions related to prohibited acts in a licensed building or premises, repealing obsolete provisions, conforming provisions, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 19, Original Senate File 43. I'm so signed. The next Enrolled Act is Senate Enrolled Act 20, Original Senate File 41. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act number 20, Senate, being Original Senate File 41, an act relating to the administration of government, amending provisions related to the Department of Enterprise Technology, requiring application to the Federal Universal Service Fund, and requiring deposit of funds received in the school foundation account, providing conditions for the replacement of computers under the State Chief Information Officer's Computer Replacement Program, providing conditions and limitations on a state government unified telecommunications network, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 20, original Senate File 41. I've so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate Enrolled Act 21, original Senate File 100. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act Number 21, Senate, being original Senate File 100, an act relating to limited liability companies, amending provisions related to the management of limited liability companies, repealing requirement distributions be made in money upon dissolution, making conforming amendments and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 21, original Senate File 100. I've so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate Enrolled Act 22, original Senate File 59. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act Number 22, Senate, being original Senate File 59, an act relating to government ethics, providing that clerks of the district courts are subject to the Ethics and Disclosure Act, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 22, original Senate File 59. I've so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate Enrolled Act 23, original Senate File 52. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act Number 23, Senate, being original Senate File 52, an act relating to administration of government, providing a definition of fund balance for purposes of the state budgetary process, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 23, original Senate File 52. I'm so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate Enrolled Act 24, original Senate File 48. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act Number 24, Senate, being original Senate File 48, an act relating to farm loans, amending the maximum amount of loans under the Farm Loan Program, amending the total amount of loans that can be made to beginning agriculture producers, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 24, Senate, original Senate File 48. I'm so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate Enrolled Act 25, original Senate File 47. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act Number 25, Senate, being original Senate File 47, an act relating to the state institutions, providing for the deposit of monies and income received or collected by public institutions into accounts to be expended as specified, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 25, original Senate File 47. I've so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, Enrolled Act Number 1, being original Senate Joint Resolution Number 2. The reading clerk will read the joint resolution.
Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 1, Senate, being original Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, a joint resolution requesting Congress to enact legislation requiring revenues received by the federal government from wind and solar energy developments on land of the United States be shared equally with the state in which the developments are located. Therefore, be it resolved by the members of the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Joint Resolution Number 1, Senate, being original Senate Joint Resolution Number 2. I have so signed. Members, as I mentioned yesterday, we are going to depart from our normal order of business. We're going to do actually Committee of the Whole today, so we're going to try to get some air under some Senate files and then crank a few more out later today. So with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just a reminder, it is unlimited debate, but that doesn't mean everyone in the body needs to speak on the bill. You know, if you get a sense if you get a sense of which way it's going, it's probably going to go that way, and we don't need to talk another hour on it. But with that, Mr. Speaker, we're going to go to general file. The first five bills on general file will be Senate File 32, 42, 36, 131, and Senate File 72. Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Representative Chairman Ayer.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. There's no need for that. We've already been through that once. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 32. Chairman Kirkbride. Oh, the reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 32, introduced by Judiciary, Peace Officer Recordings, an act relating to public records. Mr. Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 32 engrossed, Peace Officer Recordings, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Bightman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Pannell, Salazar, and Winters. No, Representative Baker. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 32 do pass. For the explanation of the bill, I turn it over to our good colleague from the land of the thermal waters in House District 28.
Representative Winters.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. So I am presenting to you Senate File 32, and let me give you a reason for the bill first, and then I'll walk you briefly through the bill. It's only four pages long, as you can see. But let me tell you why it came to the judiciary over the interim. There are many departments that would like to avail themselves of body cameras, but they don't feel like it would be the best thing for them to do at this particular point because the statute doesn't quite give them what they feel would be very good. And because the technology in question right now the technology allows for the dash cam and the body camera to download to the same hard drive that would remain in the patrol vehicle. And so many of them felt that they needed to have some additional legislation that would help make this something that would be usable for them. And so a number of parties came together. Also, they came together in the Senate again to talk about this. And I'll get to the meat of the bill in just a moment and tell you about kind of the compromise they worked on and how it was presented to us. And this bill basically allows for people to access this information, but with a kind of order that is necessary. So let me just walk you through the bill. We're creating a new paragraph here in 16-4203 that will give us some definitions, and you'll see I'm starting on page number two. The definition on at the top of the page with a peace officer recording, which is any audio or video data recorded by a peace officer as defined in the statute 61-104. Then it talks about how it should be used only for official business, performing official business in paragraph A. And then paragraph B shows that it's the peace officer's body or attached to a vehicle. Now, let me just show you the meat of the bill. It starts here in starting on page line 13 of page 2. And on to the top of page 3, all the way through page 3. Let me just start here on page 3. This is where the meat of the bill is. In section A, the custodian shall allow the right of inspection to law enforcement personnel or public agencies for the purpose of conducting official business or pursuant to a court order. Now, I want you to notice the shall there, the third word in on line 1. That's important. if you do like I do, I circle that shall. And then down on line 6, you'll see a may. The custodian may allow the right of inspection, and then it gives these three instances. First of all, on line 9, to the person of interest. Line 11, if the information involves an incident of deadly force, a serious bodily injury as defined in Wyoming Statute 61104. And then on line 15, thirdly, in response to a complaint against a law enforcement personnel and the custodian of the information determines inspection is not contrary to the public interest. And so this is actually where the meat of the bill is found. So let's just walk through that for a moment. This is where the individuals that deal with the press, an association that works extensively with the press, felt comfortable, as well as those who are the prime advocates for law enforcement in the state and many other different interested parties, felt that this was a good thing. So it says, shall allow in A for law enforcement personnel, and if you look at line 3, for the purpose of conducting official business or pursuant to a court order. Now, the may in under subsection B there is still subject now. It's may, and it's dependent upon the custodian of the information. The custodian may allow the right of inspection. Now, if a person still doesn't feel like they were properly heard according to items 1, 2, and 3 of the bill, they still can petition for a court order. So that still remains in place, and that, of course, is found on line 4 at the toward the top of page number 3. So with that, Mr. Chairman, it's a simple explanation of the bill. I just wanted to go ahead and present that. Thank you very much. I'll stand for questions.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And if the bringer of the bill could just tell me what issues, how is it handled currently? So how is this situation with a recording handled currently or not handled currently? And then what issue arose that resulted in this specific piece of legislation?
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative, there are a number of different people that would like to speak on this particular issue. So with that, a gentleman who has worked hand-in-hand with these issues as his primary job for many years will probably answer that in just a moment.
We do have an amendment. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to jump in the line here with an amendment. What this amendment does in front of you, let me first move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate.
Would you move the amendment?
I'm in the process of moving.
Okay.
I will, move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 32 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this amendment does, from my perspective, is bring the bill back to its actual original intent. When the bill was first birthed, really, it was about body cameras and only body cameras. Through an evolutionary process, it came to include dash cams. Under the current bill, as was explained to you by the good representative opposite of the summer month, the bill would actually require an individual to get a court order in order to access either a dash cam or a body cam if the custodian is not willing to release the information. Under the current state law, as applied under a FOIA and last letter of the first letter of the alphabet, federal law, any individual can access a dash cam in Wyoming and do so regularly without a court order. And let me give you just a context of why this amendment is so important. It's in the civil realm of the practice of law, not the criminal realm. In the criminal realm, it doesn't hamper anything in order to with the current bill and the need to get a court order, because generally when you have dash cam or body cam footage, you either have a victim or a suspect, or you're already got a criminal defendant. You're moving very rapidly because of constitutional constraints. So within 90 days, you're usually moving through a process, and you can already make determinations, get in front of a judge, and decide whether disclosure is appropriate or not. In the civil context, that is rarely the case. If you think about large accidents that occur every winter in the state of Wyoming on I-80, major pileups that often include dash cam footage, in the civil context, an attorney will go out and request as a regular course of action, and I did this for 2 years in my previous life as a insurance defense litigator, request the dash cam, and you would get it from the custodian. And you may not have a lawsuit for 3.5 years because the statute of limitations on a personal injury is 4 years. So what's the problem? In no scenario, if there isn't a lawsuit, can you get a court order? So you can't go – if the custodian denies you access to the dash cam in those civil instances, the attorney would have to file a suit or wait 3.5 years potentially, because those suits are often filed on the eve of the statute of limitations before they can get in front of a judge to get access to it. So while I have tremendous faith and respect for the 23 county custodians and the agency head custodians that would be in charge of making this determination, my fear is that we will unduly hamper the civil litigation process in doing this. So what my amendment does is remove dash cams from the bill, which under current state law, you already have access to that without the need of a court order, and there's really no justification to include it. These are cameras on public highways. And again, I'm thinking of it in a civil context. If you end up in a criminal context under this bill or without this bill, a custodian can still withhold access to it if they believe that it would hamper a criminal investigation to release it. So know that, too, that if we take dash cams out, your criminal prosecutors or sheriffs or whoever it may be, if they need to withhold that, they most certainly can. It won't impede upon them. But if you don't and you pass this bill as it is, I believe the repercussions in the civil realm could be pretty significant. So I would ask for your favorable consideration of this amendment to bring the bill back to its original purpose.
Anyone else to speak on the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I would urge you to vote no on this amendment. What the concern is that the technology nowadays, as those body cams are tied in to the dash cams, it's all one unit. And what testimony we heard in our interim committees is that this, the way it's set up now, that there's agencies now not really willing to go out and purchase these other cameras, which would be a devastating blow to evidence and things that could be identified. So I'm going to be brief on this. As the bill stands now, you can still get that information, civil cases. It's not something that you can't get. You can still get it. Agencies will still release those information. It doesn't impair that at all. What it does impair and stop is those incidents where someone will come in and they'll request the day's video, the entire day. What they're looking for is just some news of some sorts. What that will be able to happen if you pass that amendment on these. It will not prevent, though, releasing, the way the bill's read now, will not prevent releasing the information to individuals that would need it. So vote no on the amendment, and let's keep the bill as is. Thank you.
Question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. Those in favor, please stand. Those in opposed, please stand. Less than 34. The committee of the whole on amendment number one has passed. We are back on the bill. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the question was asked, how are agencies currently handling this situation? And some of the testimony received on how agencies are currently handling it is a scattershot and a shotgun blast. Lots of those agencies are currently handling as in everything's public. So if an officer in some of these municipalities is wearing a body cam and enters into a private home, that's public record. So that's what this bill is seeking to address. And I would urge an aye vote on this piece of legislation. This legislation's been pretty thoroughly vetted, and it considers everything private. So when you think about that, everything's private except for these few circumstances, areas that you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. If you don't want it to be private, it speaks specifically to if bodily injuries happen. And I'd also note that this piece of legislation has been looked at by law enforcement. They're in favor of it. The Liberties Union that normally works on these, on and in favor of it. So this is one of those pieces of legislation that took a lot of people coming together and gives direction to these law enforcement agencies that is desperately needed.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So there was a comment made as we considered that last amendment in the context of the bill about the custodians, and there's only so many custodians, and it was related to the number of counties in the state and a few agencies. But if you take a look at the definition of peace officer on line 3, it references another statute. Folks, it's just about everybody that has any kind of law enforcement, including those of the federal government. So there's a lot of folks. There's going to be a lot of different custodians in the context of this. So I just throw it out there. This is not just about the couple local agencies. This is about all different kinds of entities. And if you take a look at 104, including some entities that are of federal in nature. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just briefly answer that last question there. When we speak of custodian, that's specifically found in 16.4201, which defines a custodian means the official custodian or any authorized person having personal custody or control of the public records in question. The official custodian means any officer or employee of the state or agency, institution, or political subdivision thereof who is responsible for the maintenance, care, and keeping of public records, regardless of whether the records are in his actual personal custody or control. So I think that that custodial question is defined there in 16.4201A, Romanets 1 and 2. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Kirkbride's motion that when the Committee of the Whole arises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 32 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Senate File 32 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 42. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 42.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce in the fishbowl Mrs. Adams and Mrs. Butterfield's fifth grade class from Jessup Elementary School right here in Laramie County. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Now where was I? The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 42. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 42, introduced by Judiciary. opiate overdose emergency treatment, an act relating to public health and safety. Mr. Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 42, opiate overdose emergency treatment, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Pownell, Salazar, and Winters. Signed, Representative Kirkbride. Mr. Chairman, this bill was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 42 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, which I will explain. On page 7 of the bill is a section talking about liability of people that might help another person by providing them with the opiate antidote. And the way the bill was originally worded, that person was also responsible to contact emergency medical services. Emergency medical services are very important in this context. When this person gets the antidote, frankly, we understand they're a mess and they need to go to emergency services. But we didn't like the word shall. We didn't like this, that we were somehow perhaps criminalizing this person who had just saved another person's life by also making sure they contact emergency services. So we simply changed the shall to that they should do it. And that's the substance of the amendment.
Representative Biteman. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on the Standing Committee against it and asking you to vote no, you look and see what it does there. It's on page 7. And that whole section talks about a person acting in good faith may administer an opiate antagonist to another person who appears to be experiencing an opiate-related drug overdose. As soon as possible, the administering person shall contact emergency medical services. We're changing that to they should contact emergency medical services. Just because someone administers an opiate antagonist doesn't mean that they're going to be okay. They really do need to contact emergency medical services. Otherwise, there's a risk of re-overdosing again. And a person could end up dying. So I don't like that language, that they should do it. I think people realize that they should do it, but it should be a shall. So vote no on the amendment. Thank you.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question being called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 has failed. We are back on the bill. Any other? Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the explanation of the bill, I turn it over to our good colleague from House District 51.
Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen of the 64th, I bring in Senate File 42, opiate overdose emergency treatment. The Judiciary Committee heard testimony about the opiate epidemic that is plaguing our state and our nation. Between 2005 and 14, there was 279 deaths due to opioid overdoses in Wyoming. This bill doesn't stop the epidemic, but it does save lives by giving law enforcement, first responders, and families this very important medication that can help stop an overdose instantly, and it's a very good bill. I'll explain you the bill. The drug is called naloxone hypochloride or Narcan. It can be administered nasally or it's an injectable form. It's safe. It specifically targets the opiate receptors in the brain, so you could give it to somebody you suspect of an overdose, and they may not be having an overdose, and it won't hurt them in any way. It just blocks specifically those opiate receptors. So if they are having an opiate overdose, this dumps that drug out, gives you about a half an hour time to get these people some emergency care and get them in the hands of the ER. So I know the law enforcement testified in favor of this. They want this. Volunteer firefighters like myself, we'd like to have this tool in our tool belt when we're out, you know, in 40 minutes from the nearest hospital and the ambulance takes some time to get out there. We could administer this drug, keep the airway going, keep them alive until the ambulance gets there and can give them some more significant treatment. So also a pharmacist could prescribe this drug to people maybe that just had a major surgery and are prescribed a large dose of opiate medication. Grandma could accidentally take an extra pill or two, forgetting that she just took them, and grandpa could find her not breathing so hot and give her this medicine. So it's very important. It's a good bill. I'll walk you through the bill real quick. Section 1, we're going to be in Title 33, Chapter 24. That deals with pharmacists. And this bill creates a new Section 158, Prescription of Opiate Antagonist by Pharmacist. The next part of the bill is on page 2, line 9, where we create the Emergency Administration of Opiate Antagonist Act. For here on out, we'll be dealing with Title 35, Public Health and Safety, Chapter 4, General Health Regulations. And as you can see, we're adding in a new Section 9, and then we go into definitions at the bottom of page 2 and continuing through all of page 3 and the top of page 4. The heart of the bill is found between line 4 of page 4 and page 8. 35.4903A deals with a practitioner or pharmacist being allowed to prescribe an opiate antagonist without a prescriber-patient relationship. And then 35.4903B states that the prescriber shall provide education and written instructions. 35.4904 is the most important. Is the important standing order that will apply to law enforcement, fire departments, or any entity whose official duties or business places them in a position whereby they may encounter people experiencing opioid overdoses. 35.5905 states that this article is voluntary, hence it does not establish a duty to act or a standard of care. 35.4906 gives immunity to those who administer the drug in good faith. And then you'll see there's a fiscal note. It shows the amount of federal funds the state will use to get this program rolling. The annual maintenance cost is estimated at about $12,500. And with that, I will open it up to any questions. And if no questions, I'll ask for the question. We do have a question.
Chairman Greer.
Yeah, just before I vote on this, I'd like to understand that one comment or one part of it a little bit better. So I understand getting us law enforcement and emergency personnel, and that makes perfect sense. I'm just curious with the committee, and this was worked through the interim, it looks like. So when I look at page 4, the 34903 component of it, how was the pharmacy industry or practitioners about the idea that they're now going to be determining who a person is at risk or a person in a position to assist a person at risk or a person who in the course of their business, official duties, I understand, but business may encounter a person at risk and then provide the training. How did that discussion go? And were they fine with that?
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was there during the interim when we discussed those measures. The pharmaceutical board was in support of the measure, largely because they view it as a lifesaver. The training isn't really a complicated burden on pharmacists. It's well within their professional abilities and responsibilities. And again, I mean, the really nice thing about this drug is it's not a drug that can be abused. It's not a drug that you can overdose on. It merely interferes with the opiate receptors in the brain. The training element is, largely revolves around that last amendment that was rejected in that The good representative from Gillette was right in that there's probably about a 30-minute window, so that does require emergency treatment. Those antagonists dissipate, and then there's going to be real emergency treatment after that. But I don't think we saw any objection from the pharmaceutical industry at all. I mean, from the pharmacy industry at all.
Representative Biteman.
And just to add on that, we heard testimony from the pharmacists, and they encounter folks that are buying a lot of syringes and things of that nature where they suspect heroin addicts are coming in. What this bill would also allow them to do is if they suspect heroin abuse, they can prescribe these people this antagonist that will help possibly save your life in the event of an overdose. So that was another point that they brought up as another pro as to why they like this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Flitner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a question for the bringer of the bill in the committee. I don't have a problem with this, but was there ever any discussion with the medical community in reducing the number of prescriptions that they write for opioids instead of having a bill to deal with that problem? Are they dealing with the problem in that regard? Thank you.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There was, during the interim, some discussion of that. Obviously, this bill is designed to address those emergency situations, but there's a long-term question that has to be answered, and I think the overprescription of opioids and also the illicit use of controlled substances, heroin, for example, fall within the abilities of this drug to interfere with the receptors. So it's you're bringing up a broader issue that probably couldn't or shouldn't be addressed in this bill, but you're right. It's something that this state, this country has to look at in terms of the prescription of opioids.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Kirk Wright's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 42 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 42 has passed Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for consideration is Senate File 136. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 136, introduced by Appropriations, Energy Science Stipends and Fellowships, an act relating to abandoned mine land funds. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 136, Energy Science Stipends and Fellowships, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas. Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 136 do pass. And I turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from the middle of the state.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that, I would present to you Senate File 136, Energy Science Stipends and Fellowships. This is a program that was started in 2011. At that time, the legislature appropriated $6.2 million in AML funds to the university for this project. In 1 year, they are not allowed to spend over $1 million. And what this bill does is extend the sunset date. What was occurring is they would offer this to multiple fellows every year, and then not all of those fellows would take the position, and so they weren't able to spend the $1 million each year that they needed to spend. So they have been a little bit slower expending the $6.2 million that they were originally appropriated than had been anticipated. So this extended out to 2020. In that time, it will allow them, and it needs to happen this year so that they can recruit folks for the next class, and it's all a timing issue. And actually, because of the current sunset date, they did not recruit anybody in 2016 because that would have only given them 1 year of their two-year study before this ran out. And so they held off. They came to the legislature to have this extended.
It is already appropriated money. It comes from AML funds. And if we don't extend the sunset date, those AML funds just revert back and go to some other AML state. We don't get them back here in Wyoming. We just lose out on the money. And so I would highly encourage you to vote in favor of this. As I said, it's already appropriated money, and so it just keeps a good program moving.
Minority Floor Leader Miller.
Just a simple question. Does this, these fellowships or stipends, do they go to out-of-state students, in-state students, or is that not differentiated?
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a mix of in-state, out-of-state students as well as out-of-country students that come to Wyoming and practice here in the state of Wyoming. And these are graduate stipends. And so these are large projects these folks are working on, graduate study projects. And really some of them put Wyoming on the map in the area of study that they're working on. And so it is a variety of folks that are using it.
Chairman's won it, sir.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Question on the testimony. So if we don't appropriate these, they go back to AML other states if we don't give them to this program, or if we don't appropriate the $2.8 million anywhere? I guess my question is, we have $2.8 million left over in AML funds. Can we send it somewhere else and not lose the funds, or do we have to send it to this program?
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding it needs to be appropriated for this program, or it will revert back because we have designated it this way when we accepted this portion of the AML funds. I could be mistaken, but that's my understanding.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question is, bottom of page 2, top of page 3, talks about reports. And my assumption is there's been reports on this. So what has been the result? What has this provided us? Obviously, I'm sure part of the report is we gave it to one or two or three people, individuals that are in their graduate or fellowship. But what are we getting? I mean, what programs, what things are being done with this that instituted the program 6 years ago and to continue it? What's the value? Thank you.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I passed over that in the interest of time, but I can back up. So we've had about 89 graduate students that have been recruited into the program. 17 master's degrees, 11 doctoral degrees have been issued. We have 50 students currently pursuing graduate degrees using this program. And then ideas that they're working on. We have chemical engineering developing nanocatalytic processes from Wyoming rare earth elements for advanced energy conversions. Try saying that one two times fast. We're exploring algal biodiversity for biofuel and biogas feedstock production. Reservoir scale stratigraphy in the Parkman sandstone and Mesaverde formation. So we have a whole variety of projects are going on, and that is just the current projects that this current class is working on. So these are the kind of activities that have taken place. These reports have been submitted and reviewed. I just didn't feel it was in the interest of the entire body to read through the entirety of the reports here on the floor. So if you'd like to know more, we can get together and I can share those, but that's just an example.
Speaker Pro Tem Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple clarifications. This was a footnote in the previous budget. It was Section 346. And this is another one of the footnotes that was removed and is put in statute now. There's about $1.6 million remaining of the $2.8 million in AML funds for this program. It's for two-year stipends to help students do research. A lot of it beneficial to the state. It's AML funds, and if we don't spend it, it merely reverts. We don't get it. AML funds you have to spend in order to get them. So if we don't spend it, it goes back. If you don't like this, then we just give money back to the government. It's really ours. So that's kind of it in a nutshell with it. It has done a lot of good. It was done in a time when we had quite a bit of AML funds coming in. It is a legitimate use to give it to these stipends. We're not playing games with AML money, so I'd ask for your aye vote.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative or Chairman Nicholas' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 136 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 136 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for your consideration is Senate File 131. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 131, introduced by Senator Bebout, State Revenues and Expenditure Review, an act relating to administration of government. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 131, engrossed State Revenues and Expenditure Review, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Hallinan, Kenner, Larson, Madden, Obermueller, and Paxton. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this bill was then referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which returned a recommendation of due pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 131 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendments. I'll start, Mr. Chairman, with the Standing Committee Amendment, if that's okay, so we have that out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, you should be able to find the Standing Committee Amendment to 131, and I'll just go through why we and the committee thought it was necessary. This bill came to us pretty loose. There isn't a lot of rigor in the way it was structured, but basically it's a state revenue review and looking for maybe sources of revenue to be considered for next year. Anyway, let me just go through the amendment. There was a mistake in the catch title. As you can see, it says State Revenues and Expenditure Review. That was a mistake, and expenditure needs to be deleted. Okay? The next section is page 2, line 10. Right after, the only direction it really had there is what you see in line 8 to 10, which wasn't much direction at all. So we added specificity to what was expected from this committee. And you can see those Romanettes from 1 to number 5. I can go through and explain each of those if you want. Otherwise, in the sake of interest of saving time, I'll just gloss over them because you got them right in front of you. The other change that was important is at the bottom of, on page 2, line 19, the original language that came to us just said it would be coming to the budget session, and we needed to amend that so that it could come to for introduction in a special legislative session prior to the 2018 budget session. So that option is there, and I think that's important to leave it there. The final thing in the Standing Committee Amendment is just a technical change that the committee is going to last ending the end of the fiscal year 2018. So that's basically the bill, or basically the amendment. I will, if there's no questions on the amendment, I call for the question on the amendment, and then I'll talk about the bill.
Question having been called, for Standing Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 131, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has passed the Committee of the Whole. We are back on the bill. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I said, this is a a select committee that's going to be made up of members that are described here in paragraph A, starting on page or line 11, on page 1, and it's composed basically of the House leadership and the Senate leadership, as it appears right now, which would be three members: the President, Vice President, and Majority Floor Leader of the Senate, Speaker Pro Tem, the Majority Floor Leader, and the Speaker of the House. And then there's the Chairman of Revenue and the Chairman of Appropriations from both the House and the Senate. So now we're up to 10 members. And then if you look on the top of page 1, you see there's a member of the House selected jointly by the Senate President and House Speaker. So the wild, I guess you call that the wild card, and it gets you to a committee of totaling 11 people. That's really the bill. The bill, or I should say, even with the amendment, there's still a lot of room for more amendments. And if this passes the first reading today, I think, I would welcome ideas or comments from you, and we can possibly incorporate some of those into a second reading amendment so that we have something that's worth, it's not going to be a waste of time, and it's going to have a sense of direction. As I said, the standing committee amendment added something to that, but there's other ideas in here that are from much smarter people than the one that wrote that standing committee amendment. So if you have any additions, let me know. Or let LSO know. So that's, there's an appropriation of $50,000. There's going to be a report. This needs to be ready by the next special session or the next budget session, whichever would come first. And is there any questions on the file? I guess.
Representative Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple of questions for the good bringer. One, this kind of reminds me a lot of a bill 2 years ago called Vision 2020. Page 2, line 15. So this committee may conduct public meetings, hearings, but they may not, if I'm reading that correctly. On page 2, line 18, the select committee shall sponsor legislation. What if they decide? What if they look at that and say, "Boy, this isn't the right idea or the right time"? So those two questions.
Chairman Madden.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, just briefly, I think the speaker makes a point here. This may conduct public hearings is another loose part of it, and certainly that would be something to consider for an amendment if that was the interest of the body.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just further reading from the bill here. The Select Committee shall sponsor legislation for introduction in the 2018 budget session as it determines appropriate for modification to revenue streams and potential additional revenue options which would provide sufficient revenue to fund ongoing state operations, ... Again, we have a spending problem in our state, not a revenue problem, and this is just another attempt to increase taxes, and this is going to lead to a whole suite of bills for tax increases that are now going to have the imprimatur of this select committee, and we're really not going to be able to advance government efficiencies, get serious about government efficiencies when we just continue to go with this approach. So I really urge you to reject this bill.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question back to the to the presenter of the bill, the good chairman, is also there on 2 where it talks about the select committee shall sponsor legislation, and I was just wondering if there was discussion in the committee from the direction that we received from management council about select committees not sponsoring legislation, about perhaps referring them back to a sponsoring committee like management council. So if you could just help me with that, maybe that's something we could fix with an amendment.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'd follow up on that last question a little bit too. But we have an appropriations committee that meets, and they're familiar with the funding sources, and they have and develop, as we got quite a few new members, this to deal with the revenue streams. We have a standing revenue committee. This is their task. I mean, that's what they've been directed to do by management council last year. I just do not see any need whatsoever to pull this into a select committee. Just let our standing committees do their work. Just let our standing committees gather that expertise that makes us strong as a whole body by relying upon that expertise by standing committees. And I'm just not in favor of a select committee that can bring its own legislation and not have to at least vet that through the standing committees who are charged with these specific duties. So, enough. Thank you.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chairman. Again, I agree with some of the other speakers. This is a bad approach. I cannot support this. I hope you think twice before voting on this. Thank you.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We talk a lot about economic development in this body, and I think it's always important when we have these sorts of approaches to talk about the effects and to take a brief moment here and to reiterate the history of our country, the history of economies throughout our world, that the main thing that hurts economic development and diversification of economies is a bigger, growing government and with higher and higher tax burdens. And so this is an anti-economic development bill. And, we say we're supporting economic development and economic diversification, but the side effects of the sorts of bills that are going to come out of this committee is going to hurt economic development and the diversification of our economy here in Wyoming.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. So what happens when we have the Appropriations Committee get a budget kind of together, and then we have the super committee, if that bill passes, for education, comes up with their recommendations on how we solve a funding crisis, and now we have this other committee that sends a third recommendation to the floor. I would assume it would go through, well, just so they can bring their own legislation, and they may drop it, a week after session starts in the budget session. I just don't know what we do when we have three different recommendations of where we're going funding-wise, one from the Super Education Committee, one from this committee, one from Appropriations, and maybe they'll all mesh, but maybe they won't.
Madam Minority Floor Leader Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in favor of this bill. And just to address some of the concerns that have been talked about and having served on both the Appropriations and the revenue committees, that I think this is an absolutely needed and valuable piece of legislation right now. We absolutely need to look about the future when it comes to our revenue streams and then how we'll appropriate from them. Our standing committees have too much work to do right now in order to take that broader look. Serving on appropriations, that body will be tasked with looking at state agency budgets with a microscope. That will be their task over the next interim. The revenue committee, having a new member of that, the interim committee topics that we have include things like looking at very specific revenue options and streams regarding, for example, a lodging tax, regarding how do we think about ag property. Right? Those will each take a day, 2 days. We are not looking at that big, broad picture. And I think we each need to be able to go home and say, we in the 64th are taking our revenue issues seriously. We're looking at solutions for today, but also 5, 10, 20 years from now, and we'll do it through looking at kind of the big picture. This committee has on it the chairs of appropriation and revenue as well as others, so that I don't think that there will be conflict. And in all honesty, if there is between what the different groups are going, good, because when we come back next year, we'll have those options on the table. So I'd encourage you to vote yes on this.
Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not to lengthen this debate any, but, I think if
you know, in regards to what recommendation, I think we do what we do, and that's work bills. And that's what we do. I mean, we had 300 some bills this session, and so I don't think that's anything that I guess we need to concern ourselves about. We listen to debate and we vote. Whether you want to talk about this bill with a group of legislators or another group that's in the revenue, you know, I don't know. And I think even the sponsors of this bill were kind of like, you know, what's the best way to kind of talk about this? But I think, I don't think talk is scary. I think that's what we're supposed to do is talk and meet and listen to constituents and sit down and think about these items. And it's pretty hard. I mean, so I just because it's hard doesn't mean I don't think we should do it. And, you know, the hard thing in Wyoming is, born and raised here, it's never a good time because we have two seasons. We have boom season and we have bust season. And let's not even talk about it in the boom season because we don't. I mean, we shouldn't talk about it. And during the bust season, we shouldn't talk about it really either. It's hard. And I guess, so regardless of what happens to this bill, I think as House members, I just want to tell you, number one, the Constitution puts the hard stuff with us. And I've said it publicly many times with you members. I'm really proud of you. We've taken on all the hard issues. And so regardless of this bill, whether it makes it to the finish line or not, we're going to keep taking on hard issues. That's what we do. So I'm not going to do, I don't know. I just, whatever. Vote your conscience. I think we can keep making this bill better in second reading and third reading. And so there I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to belabor this thing, too. I guess I just really haven't been convinced, though, that we need to create a select committee. And if you look at the fiscal note or if you look at page 3, section 2, we're appropriating $50,000. So we have a standing revenue committee who does this type of work. This is what they're supposed to do, and yet we're going to appropriate another $50,000 for a select committee. And by the way, if you look on page 2, not only I'm just looking at what this select committee is supposed to do, and again, my mind goes to, well, can't we do that with our standing revenue committee? Which, by the way, I don't buy into the argument, and I'm going to push back a little bit in the fact that, well, that committee has too much to do. We have we're taking interim topics right now. Management Council hasn't even discussed what our interim topics are going to be, so this could very well be an interim topic if Management Council feels that it should be. But on page 2, line 8, paragraph B, the select committee shall conduct a review of projected state revenues and potential modifications of revenue streams and potential additional revenue options. Isn't that what they're supposed to do now, the standing revenue committee? How about paragraph C? All state agencies, commissions, departments, and other state entities shall cooperate with and provide all requested information to the select committee. I think they do the same thing right now for the standing committee. If they request information, it gets there. The committee may conduct public hearings and create subcommittees as it determines advisable. So now we're giving authority for this select committee to go ahead and do select committees on top of that. I just don't see the need for it. And again, I think it's premature. I think this would be a good interim topic for a good revenue committee. And then if Management Council feels that this is the area they should go, they can decide that. So on and against the bill.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just respond to a few things that I heard here. One speaker wanted to know, questioned the ability or whether this committee should have the power to introduce bills. You know, and that's a valid question. You know, I think that I don't know how people feel about it. We have some select committees that do sponsor their own legislation, and we have some that are to refer it to another committee. And either way is fine. I mean, if the sort of feeling of the body that this committee should direct things to the Joint Revenue Committee when they have an answer, that would be okay. Another question involved you know, isn't this what the Revenue Committee is supposed to do, you know? And that's, you're right, that is what we do. And that's why it was so important that we got this bill on general file today, because if it doesn't go, that will vastly change our component of study topics, or components of study topics that we'll have for the interim. Obviously, there's some things in here that we wouldn't want both committees studying the same thing and duplicating efforts in that regard. You know, we might need a, if it turns out that this doesn't go, we might need a little bit more money for maybe an additional meeting or two, but that's a different issue. That'll come through Management Council, and you remember we have this big contingency line item in there that should be available for that, but that's for another meeting and another day. The other thing I wanted to point out, I made a mistake. It's the leadership is the minority floor leader, majority floor leader, and the speaker, and the same thing with the Senate, except it's the president. And so that was a mistake on my part. I went through it too fast. But that's what I got. If there's any questions, otherwise we'll call for the question.
Majority Floor Leader Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the bill, you know, that's why we're down here. I have heard some scuttlebutt that we might be in a spending spree. You know, we spend a little bit too much. But also, you got to look at the revenues that we have coming in. They've declined dramatically over the last few years. And, you know, putting this select committee together, yes, they can bring legislation just like some of our other select committees. If it's in the bill like it is in this one, they can do that. And, you know, I don't think it's necessarily they're going to look at just looking at someone's tax that they can raise. Maybe they'll look at some of the permitting delays, the reason we can't drill another 150 wells this year to make up the revenue shortfall. Again, you got to look at all these issues at the same time. So, yeah, is this the right way? You know, I agree with what all the opponents to this bill have been saying, that, you know, we need to look at the spending in the state. I agree 100%. But, again, this is one component of many we have to work on. And, again, every day down here, this entire session has been about revenues coming in and spending going out. And this attacks this right head on. So on and for the bill.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just pushing back here briefly for a moment. We don't have a revenue issue in the state. The challenge we have is the timing of those revenues, the fact that we have a boom and bust oriented, and that's fine. But what we need to get, we can work with that. What we need to get better at is fighting the inclination when we're in a boom period to spend, and to build up savings to pay for when we're in a bust period. Now, I submit that we could have had no rainy day fund. That was one option after our boom period, and I'm glad we have something there. But I would submit to you that we should probably have around $4 billion there is what we should have had somewhere, I don't know, the sweet spot. But what we really need is a group to study what we do in the boom periods. How do we get metrics on how much we should be saving in the boom periods? So now that we're in the bust, we would have a level of government that our savings could pay for while we're working through it until we get back to the boom period. That's what we need to be studying, not the amount of revenue streams. We need to be studying how we deal with the timing issue in the boom-bust cycle that we have in our state. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Yeah, I got to answer that. You know, we could easily have had $4 billion in the permanent fund if we'd had a tax system that would have complemented it. But what we were doing is spending money that should have gone into savings on expenditures. One example is in the highway department. We spent $750,000 of general fund money paying for roads that 53% of the traffic is on for out-of-state people. And that was rectified, you know, in 2013, but the prior 10 years before that, we just were taking money out that should have been saved and putting it into a spending stream because we didn't do the right thing earlier on. But that's all I got on that, and urge your support of this bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 131 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will please call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker. Barlow. No. Beitman. No. Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. No. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. No. Clem.
No.
No. Connolly. I, Court. I, Crank. I, Dayton. No, Edwards. No, Eklund. I, Ayer. I, Flitner. No, Freeman. I, Furphy. I, Giroux. I, Gray. No, Greer. No, Haley. I, Hallinan. No, Halverson. Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt. No. Jennings. No. Kinner. No. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan. No. Lindholm. No. Lone. No. Laux. No. McGuire. No. Madden. Aye. McKim. Excused. Miller. I, Nicholas. No, Northrup. No, Obermuller. No, Olson. No, Paxton. I, Pelkey. I, Piperinen. No, Ponell. No, Salazar. No, Schwartz. I, Summers. No, Steinmetz. No, Sweeney. I, Walters. No, Wilson. No, Winters.
No,
Zwanitzer. Aye, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Baker? Baker? Halverson. Halverson excused. Baker excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Allen, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 23 aye, 34 no, 3 excused.
Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, Senate File 131, having failed a roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 72. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 72, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources. 2017 Large Project Funding, an act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 72, 2017 Large Project Funding, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it does so with a recommendation that Senate File 72 do pass. And I would turn the explanation of the bill to the good representative who has to drive more for his district than about anyone else in the state of Wyoming.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Paxton.
Is there an amendment on that?
There is an amendment, and I'd also turn the amendment over to the good representative. Okay. Well, actually, I can do the amendment. I would move standing the amendment number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration, and I would also turn explanation of the amendment over to the good representative. I think it's just a monetary issue.
Representative Paxton.
Taking out one project.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Paxton.
What we bring to you today is the Wyoming Wildlife Natural Resource Trust large projects, and the quick explanation of it, I guess you should have somewhere buried maybe deep in your boxes because we gave this out last week in anticipation that we might get to it. There should be a colorful flyer with lots of nice pictures in it kind of explaining what some of these projects are. But before we get into that, before we even consider, I guess, the amendment, it's probably important to note that this is has no general fund dollars in it. It's all paid for out of the trust. There's about just over $100 million in the trust. We're spending about $6 to $8 million each year on that. And so far, we've spent about $60 million and generated about $360 million in on-the-ground expenditures. So it returns about $5 to $7 for every dollar we invest. The large projects, there are 58 total projects, and we're only considering the large projects, which are over $200,000, and there are 10 of them this year. We have 11 listed in the book, but that's what the amendment addresses, is that we have, by mutual consent, withdrawn one of the projects that you'll see on the list. So with that, if there are no questions on the amendment, I'd call for the question on the amendment.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has passed. We are back on the bill.
Okay, if you have your bill, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you have your bill out, you can look on page 2. The first change is some new language in there, just basically saying that the recipients of this will receive no gratuities or kickbacks or gifts in consideration for receiving the grants. And we'll quickly go through the grants. I know we're standing between you and lunch, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But the first project is the Bags Mule Deer Habitat. The project sponsor is the Little Snake River Conservation District. The purpose is to remove invasive conifers and other invasive species on approximately 11,200 acres in Carbon County. Maintain key seasonal habitat for mule deer and greater sage grouse. Restore valuable aspen and intermediate shrub ecotypes. Increase the carrying capacity of mule deer, greater sage grouse, elk, and increase the infiltration and reduce the erosion and water on high-quality upland habitats. Total cost of the project, $707.50. The grant request is for $280,900, and the appropriation is the same, $280,900. It's leveraged at 1.52. So for every dollar we spend, we get in return another 1.52 someone else is putting up. Second project is Pete's Pond. The project sponsor is the Du Bois Anglers and Wildlife Group. Project purpose, deep water fisheries, habitat, wetland creation, riparian vegetation enhancement in order to provide economic enhancement to the community that is highly dependent on recreation and tourism. Abate high stream flows through a natural diversion retention and wetland filtering system. Enhance habitat for waterfowl, amphibians, and other species of interest in the state of Wyoming. Project description, pond and wetland construction, channel design, and modification. The total project budget is $597,542. Project grant requested is $290,000. The appropriation the same. Third project is the Coal Creek Rehabilitation. Project sponsor, Wyoming Game and Fish Commission. Project purpose, restoration of stream function and fish passage on a stream in the area with extremely high wildlife diversity and critical habitat functions in Lincoln County. In order to maintain habitat, migration passage for Bonneville cutthroat trout, reduce or eliminate large sediment loads which affect downstream irrigators and fisheries, stabilize stream banks and adjacent riparian habitats, maintain proper stream function, provide reliable access and road placement that will allow use by grazing permittees and recreational users. Total project, $905,700. The requested grant, $290,000. Appropriation, the same. Leveraged at 2.12. Next project is Sunlight Basin Habitat. Project sponsor, Wyoming Game and Fish Commission. Project purpose, restoration of stream function and adjacent meadow riparian uplands on approximately 400 acres of land, providing crucial winter range to elk, mule deer, bighorn sheep, and moose in Park County. In order to maintain habitat and migration passage for game species, reduce or eliminate sediment loads on Sunlight, Painter, and Trail Creeks, stabilize a stream bank and adjacent riparian habitat to maintain proper stream function, increase the amount of forage available for wintering undulates. Total project cost, $1,602,300. Project grant, $788,000. Appropriation the same. Leveraged at 1.03. Next project, Medicine Lodge Creek Rehabilitation. Project sponsor, Wyoming Game and Fish Commission. Project purpose, restoration of stream function, fish passage on a stream in an area with extremely high wildlife diversity in Bighorn County in order to maintain habitat and migration passage for trout in an area with high levels of public recreation use. Reduce or eliminate sediment loads and improve irrigation infrastructure for downstream irrigators. Stabilize stream banks and adjacent riparian habitat to maintain proper stream function. Provide reliable access and road placement that will allow use by grazing permittees and recreational users. Total project budget is $1,385,200. The project grant $572,750. Appropriation the same, leveraged at 1.42. The next project was Powder River Conservation Easement, is the one that was pulled by mutual agreement. Next project is the Weber River Conservation Easement. Project sponsor, Nature Conservancy. Project purpose, conservation easement on approximately 512 acres of private land in Carbon County in order to maintain crucial habitat for mule deer, antelope, Colorado River trout, greater sage-grouse amphibians and raptors. Maintain agricultural production and opportunity on high-quality farm and ranch lands. And the total project cost is $1,821,332. Project grant is $430,000. and appropriation being the same, leveraged at 3.24. Next project, government draw invasives. Project sponsor, Fremont County Weed and Pest District. Project purpose, treatment and eradication of invasive species on approximately 160,000 acres of state, private, and federal lands in Fremont County in order to maintain crucial habitat for mule deer, antelope, greater sage-grouse, and other sagebrush obligate species. Maintain and improve forage quality for quality livestock and prevent expansion of invasive species into important habitat agriculture production areas. Project grant or project cost is $652,500. The grant is $200,000. Appropriation the same. The Wyoming Range Mule Deer is project sponsor is Wyoming Game and Fish Commission. Project purpose, treatment of habitat on approximately 56,000 acres of state, federal, private land, Sublette County, in order to maintain and improve crucial habitat for mule deer, antelope, elk, greater sage-grouse, and other sagebrush obligate species. Maintain and improve forage quality for livestock and wildlife. Prevent expansion of invasive species and other important habitat and agriculture production. Reduce the future risk of catastrophic wildfire and disease transmission. Total cost of the project, $5,070,028. Project grant, $1,500,000. Appropriation the same, leveraged at 2.38. Muddy Creek Wetlands. Project sponsor, Little Snake River Conservation District. Project purpose, wetland creation and enhancement on approximately 60 acres of state, private, federal land in Carbon County in order to maintain valuable habitat for waterfowl, shorebirds, wading birds, amphibians, and other wetland species, capture and reduce sediment loads into the Little Snake River aquatic system, expand upon approximately 600 acres of limited wetland habitat in southern Wyoming. Project total cost is $525,000. Project grant, $215,000. Appropriation the same with a leverage of 1.44. Little Snake River Restoration Part 4, project sponsor, Little Snake River Conservation District. Project purpose, channel reconstruction to wetland creation enhancement on approximately 1 mile of riparian habitat, Carbon County, in order to improve habitat for fish, wildlife, shorebirds, wading birds, amphibians, and other wetland species. Reduce and eliminate stream bank erosion and sediment loading in the Little Snake River aquatic system and improve irrigation efficiency, agriculture production on historic ranch and farmlands in southern Wyoming. Total project cost, $558,300. Project grant, $223,300. Appropriation the same, leveraged at 1.5. And I believe that's the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Nicholas's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 72 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 72 has passed the House, Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chairman.
Majority Floor Leader Miller.
You guys ready for a lunch break? Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
We need to rise.
I assume so.
Majority Floor Leader Miller. Representative Miller, we need to rise and report.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole begs this see. I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Reading clerk will please read the Committee of the Whole report. Hot off the press.
February 22, 2017. Mr. Speaker, our Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 32, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 42, recommended do pass. Senate File 136, recommended do pass. Senate File 131, amended. Following a roll call vote, the bill is deemed indefinitely postponed. Senate File 72, amended, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Ayer, Chairman.
Representative Ayer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
Before I entertain that motion, I think you forgot something up here. Yeah. Okay, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Congratulations, Chairman Ayer. Thank you. Well done. Thank you. Any announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
No announcements.
Okay.
Just lunch.
We will recess until 2 p.m.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Okay. Any committee announcements? Mr. Minority Caucus Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Minority Party will meet in H38. It's always open to the public. Looking forward to seeing you.
Chairman Northrup.
Your committee, Education number 4, will meet tonight upon adjournment in L54. We're going to hear Senate Journal 9, Public School Financing, Senate File 157, Education Continuing Contract Teacher Status, and Senate File 165, School Finance Education Funding Reductions.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Joint Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet approximately 6:10 p.m. to discuss interim topics. It will not be here. It will be at the Joint Forces Readiness Center Room, Platte Bridge A, 5410 Bishop Boulevard. That's kind of just go past the Game and Fish, and you should find it. Well, other members that know where it is will just try to get you all there. And there is a ceremony honoring the fallen warriors from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m., if you can make it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman Greer.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, will have a joint meeting with Senate Minerals on Thursday, February 23rd, 15 minutes afternoon recess. That will be in Jonah Room L54. And that will be to discuss the joint minerals interim topics. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 7, Corporations, will meet with a like committee from the Senate tomorrow morning at 8:15 a.m. in Jonah Room S18 to discuss interim topics.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Majority Party will caucus in L51 upon adjournment.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, travel. This just a reminder, we will meet tomorrow morning with our counterparts over in the other side at 8:30 in S27. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The House is in recess until 2 p.m.